Scripture reading this morning coming from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Be reading from the King James Version. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are an honored guest, so glad that you're here. We want to invite you to be back with us at any opportunity that you might have. Continuing our series and our studies in 1 Timothy, concerning matters crucial to congregational success, we find ourselves today in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Today we're going to be talking about the matter of respect. Friends, if a congregation is going to succeed, we must have respect one for another. And we see that throughout this chapter, in 1 Timothy chapter 5. The whole reason that Paul wrote this book to Timothy, we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, which we have read each week. Paul writes there to Timothy, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly." But Paul goes on to say, "If I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Friend, every church needs to know how to conduct its affairs so that it might please God. So what does Paul have to say to Timothy and the churches to which Timothy would be preaching? What does he have to say to us today about respect and respect for one another? Let's start again in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. I appreciate Peyton reading that passage this morning. But as we read it again, we see what Paul says here to Timothy. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Number one, this morning we ought to have respect for those who are older. We ought to have respect for those who are older. The word elder in verse 1, while it may mean in other cases one who serves as an elder, as a shepherd, as a pastor, as it were, always in the plural sense, here, friends, in this context, it's talking about just an older gentleman, just an older man. We go on and we see here that he is to be treated like a father. We have respect for our fathers, don't we? We entreat, and it says to entreat him as a father in the King James Version. How is that supposed to go exactly? How do we do that? I want you to read with me a couple of Old Testament passages that may help us with our understanding here. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. Leviticus 19 and verse 32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head." Hoary there, H-O-A-R-Y, meaning white. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." Friends, what do you do, those that are gentlemen among us? What do you do when a lady enters the room? Get up. That's the idea here. In Leviticus, he talks about as an older gentleman enters the room and as he comes and makes his presence known, as a younger man, what am I to do? Get up. I show respect. That's the idea behind Leviticus 19 and verse 32. And Proverbs 20 and verse 29, the Proverbs writer Solomon says there that the glory of a young man is his strength, but the beauty of an old man is his gray head. What does that indicate? He has experience, friends. He's seen it. He's been there, done there, and got the t-shirt, so to speak, right? You know, there are a lot of things. I'm young enough that I still remember this. There are a lot of things that my parents and my grandparents told me and warned me about going through high school and into college that I thought, man, they didn't know a thing. Looking back now, I wish I'd listened, don't I? There are things now that I have a son of my own that I gladly sit down with my folks about, my grandparents and any and all really that have experience in that particular area, and I want to pick their brain. I respect the experience that they've got in that particular area. Friends, we need to respect those among us that are older, knowing that they have experience and have seen things and been in places that and in situations where we have not yet been. And if we respect them and we listen to their words of wisdom when we find ourselves in such situations, hopefully we'll be able to handle them maybe a little bit better than they did because we took their advice. We need to respect the older men of our congregation. He says of the older women in verse 2 that we are to treat them as our mothers. Proverbs 23 and verse 22, Solomon writing again says, despise not thy mother when she is old. Despise not thy mother when she is old. You heard about the couple with the young child. The father, his mother, she'd gotten on up in years. Wasn't able to take care of herself any longer, and so she had had a stroke or something. I don't remember exactly how the story goes, but they invited her into their home to live with them. And they would sit down each night at the supper table, and the wife had prepared a great meal every night, and they would sit down to eat, and inevitably every night the grandmother, the older, the matriarch, she would spill something or she would drop a glass or just generally make a mess. So finally they had enough. They put a card table over in the corner and they found an old wooden plate and an old wooden cup. Stuff she couldn't break. And they sat her over there in the corner, and while the rest of the family sat over here, she sat over there by herself to eat her dinner. It wasn't just a couple of weeks. Mom and Dad walked in on their young son with a brand new pocket knife that he'd gotten for his birthday, and he was carving away on a couple of pieces of wood that he had there. And Father asked, son, what are you doing? They are making you and Mama your cups and your plates for when you get old. That night at supper, the matriarch was back at the dinner table. They realized they hadn't been showing the proper respect to their mother. Friends, we are to treat the older men like our fathers. But not only that, but he tells us concerning the older men, Paul says to Timothy, entreat them. What does that mean exactly? Ask about their experiences. Be willing to listen to their wisdom. Same thing with the older women. Despise not thy mother when she is old, the Proverbs writer says. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19, I find this extraordinary. If you will turn there with me. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. Solomon is now on the throne. David has passed away. Solomon is the sole ruler of Israel. Now, while David has passed away, his mother still lives. I want you to notice something that Solomon does here in verse 19. You're talking about the king now. Bathsheba therefore went in unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her. Notice this. And bowed himself unto her. Showed respect to his mother, didn't he? You have the king of a nation bowing himself unto his mother, showing deference unto her. The king that would be the wisest man in all the earth. The king that would be the richest man in all the earth. bowing unto his mother. Friends, we are to be respectful of one another, and we are to treat our older women as our mothers. Paul goes on to write to Timothy concerning his treatment of those that are younger. Treat the young men as brothers. As brothers. As I picture this, friends, I think of Timothy and being surrounded as he is, as a young evangelist, being surrounded by those of all ages and those that are of his own age and younger. How is he to treat them? Friends, I look at it like this. Brothers try to protect one another. And they do what they can to teach one another. Being there for one another to lean upon. That's the idea here that I get from Paul speaking to Timothy. And we are to do the same. To treat our younger men as brothers. To be able to sit down and talk with them about things and to share with them our experiences so that again, even as the older men have done the same and sharing with us these things, that we as brothers have one another to lean upon. One another to talk to. I know with my physical brother now, I can call and talk to him about anything. We need to be able to do that with one another, don't we? To be able to confide in one another as you would a brother. He tells Timothy as well concerning the younger women, you treat them as sisters in all purity. Fathers and brothers that are here this morning, mothers for that instance, how do you want your daughters to be treated by the young men they may go on a date with? How do you want your sisters to be treated by the young men that they might go on a date with? You want the intentions to be pure, don't you? You want the young man to respect your sister or your daughter. And so Paul tells Timothy here, and the way that I look at this is don't put yourself in a situation that is compromising in nature. Remembering here that he's talking to a young evangelist, he's telling Timothy, don't put yourself in that kind of situation. You treat them with purity. You treat them how you might want your future daughter to be treated. You treat them as a sister. Again, you're able, hopefully, to be able to talk to your siblings, brother or sister, about anything. To have that confidence that you can confide in them and be with them and talk to them in such a way, friends, that you're able to be encouraged, to be lifted up, and to be edified. We need to respect our older men, our older women, and our younger brothers and sisters, our younger men and women as brothers and sisters. The Proverbs writer writes concerning such in Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. He's talking more here about the husband and wife relationship, but as it is within the marriage bond. In Proverbs 5, 18 and 19, it says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. He's talking about a pure marriage here between husband and wife. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love. What's Solomon telling us, friends? What's he telling us? If we treat our young women with purity and our love for them grows, if it happens to be the young lady that we marry, the love will always be there. It will be something, friends, that can be cherished. You read the same in Malachi 2 and verse 14. They did not deal with their with the wives of their youths in a pure manner, but rather put them away for any and all causes, shaming them and themselves. And so this is a word of warning to the Timothy that Paul gives. In verses 3 through 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, we see also another group that we are to have the utmost respect for. Beginning in verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed, Paul says. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Friends, not only are we to have respect for both the older and younger women and older and younger men, we are to have respect for those that find themselves as widows. Paul is very clear on that in verses 3 through 10. The church is to help those that are widows indeed. That's who James is talking about in James 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Those that are widows indeed. In other words, they have no one else. There is no other family to see their needs. Now friends, if one is a widow and she has sons or daughters or other family, the primary responsibility belongs to the family. But if she finds herself a widow indeed, as the Bible says here, one that has no one else to whom she can turn, the congregation, the local church, is to take care of her, to see that her needs are met. Honor there in verse 3 is talking about financial responsibility. Taking care of her in that way. She must be, and in particular here, Paul is very specific, she must be over 60 and faithful in all things. Why such a stipulation? Why do that? Friends, a younger widow, as would be the case here, as what he's talking about, is still able to marry again. And so have a husband that can take care of her. If she has children, they're able to take care of her. So the church can still help in other ways. But for us for the church to have the primary responsibility of seeing to their financial needs and other needs, she has to meet that criteria. According to what Paul says to Timothy. But we need to respect them. You think about what was taking place in Acts 7, Acts 6, Acts 7. There was beginning to be murmurings against those of the church because they weren't taking care of their widows. And it went so far as to say, you know, even the heathen takes care of their widows. And so the apostles got together with the elders of the church in Jerusalem and they decided to appoint 7 men to see to those needs. To be sure that no one was falling through the cracks, so to speak. See that they were taken care of. Friends, we need to have respect for widows. Look at verses 17 through 20 now. As respect goes, friends, we are also to respect the elders of the Lord's church. Beginning of verse 17, we read, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word of doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also, or also may fear." Friends, what does Paul tell Timothy? There are those that are elders in the Lord's church that are worthy of, the Bible says, the King James Version says, double honor. Now, if we take that at its context, and we were to go back and look at verse 3, which talks about supporting a widow financially, it's the same thing here. Let those that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That is, it may be that that elder is in need of financial assistance and he is to be counted worthy of such. It may be that in some cases, as is the case in some places, one of the elders is also the pulpit preacher. Worthy of double honor. It may be the case, and I know of a couple of congregations like this where an elder has retired from his secular job, but he's at the office just like a regular job, and so the congregation supports him, helps him financially. Paul says let him be counted worthy of that. If you put it with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 14, you see there what Paul's talking about. Paul and others that had preached in Corinth, they had gone there and worked their secular jobs and preached the gospel and did not take a dime from the Corinthian church. Paul goes on to say that he might have been wrong for not taking anything from them, because they didn't treat other preachers that had come there as they should have. They didn't count them worthy of such. And so Paul tells Timothy, they are worthy of double honor. Those who rule well, those who labor in the word and teaching. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 6. And let's see the parallel here, the correlation. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 6, "For I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working." In other words, Paul says, do we not have the right to do nothing among you but preach the gospel? We didn't have to go and build tents. He goes on and writes, "Who goeth to warfare any time in his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? See how these things is a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or said he, it's altogether for our sakes. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. He that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live in the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Friends, those elders that meet this criteria that is mentioned here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul tells Timothy, let them be counted worthy of double honor, of being supported financially. We ought to have respect, friends, and to the elders of the Lord's church. Notice also that he says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Friends, we are not to listen to gossip concerning our elders. We are to have no part in it. Now, if an elder has sinned, he needs to be rebuked like anybody else. But their stipulation here is that it needs to take place before two or three witnesses. He says there in verse 20, notice what he says, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also, or also may fear." friends, the respect that we have for the elders of the local congregation is to be such. But if someone out of the blue just comes and says, have you heard about what one of your elders did? No, and I'm not going to listen to it either unless you've got something to back it up. As a matter of fact, why don't you get your witnesses together and let's go talk to them. That should be the way that thing is handled. We don't listen to gossip concerning our elders. That's the respect that we are to have for them, and the respect, friends, that office that God has put in place deserves. Look at verse 21 now, as we conclude. Verse 21 says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Paul tells Timothy, friends, that he is to preach the gospel in all facets, regardless of who he may be talking to. In other words, we are to have respect for no man's person or status, stature, whatever the case may be. Acts chapter 10. 34 and 35, we see there Peter speaking to Cornelius and his household. And before that, you remember Peter had had a vision. Three times what we might refer to as a sheet with different animals was let down before Peter, and Peter was told to arise, kill and eat. And each time Peter's response was, not so, Lord, for nothing unclean has ever touched these lips. You remember how the Lord responded? Peter, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. Peter finally got the picture in verses 34 and 35 of Acts chapter 10. Baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and his household, and they began to speak in tongues. And Peter's response was this. It was to get the whole reason for this particular baptism of the Holy Spirit upon these people was to get Peter's attention and to let him realize that the gospel was now to go into the Gentiles. What did Peter say? He had a perception, didn't he? I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. Peter came to the realization that Jew and Gentile now are going to be part of the same church, the same people. That's why Paul writes to the Romans and to the Corinthians for that matter. There is no more Jew, there is no more Gentile, no more bond, no more free. It doesn't matter what your status is in life, friends. We all deserve and all around us deserve to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to James chapter 2. We'll finish with this. Beginning in verse 1. James writes, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Then he goes on to paint us a picture as to what he means by that. James writes, for if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, James says, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. We we are friends to have respect for no man's person. It doesn't matter how much money they may put in the plate. It doesn't matter if they wear the best clothes, drive the best car, live in the biggest house. They get no preferential treatment in the kingdom of God. We're all the same. But friends, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Probably one of my favorite books in the New Testament is the book of Philemon. And it's for this particular reason. Paul writing to Philemon concerning Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave, a runaway slave. Thankfully, Philemon was a Christian. Now Philemon, although a Christian, had slaves. They weren't going to change overnight. That was something that was going to take a while for folks to overcome. So Paul wrote a letter to send back by Onesimus to Philemon. And he had told Onesimus, you go back to being a servant. You do what Philemon tells you to do. You serve him like you have always before because Philemon is a good master. But then he writes to Philemon and he says, Onesimus is now more than just a servant to you. He's now your brother in Christ. Let's think about that for just a moment. Here was Philemon's slave, who is now to be considered his brother. A servant who has now become his equal. Friends, that's the wonderful thing about Christianity, is that regardless of what status we may find ourselves, our social status in this world, regardless of how much we might have in our bank account, regardless of how good or how ratty our clothes may be, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're all one in Him. And we can lean upon one another and draw upon one another's strengths. It's the wonderful thing about the family of God, is knowing that we have others to lean upon. So long, friends, as we respect the Word of God and have respect for one another. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, quite simply, there is no place. There is no place in the Lord's church for a lack of respect. We need to respect our older men and women. Treat them as our fathers and mothers. We need to respect our younger men and women and treat them as our brothers and sisters. We need to be sure, friends, that we are taking care of those among us that are widows and widows indeed. We need to be sure that we have the proper respect for our shepherds. And friends, we need to be sure that we share the gospel with any and all who will listen. And we treat everyone, friends, the same, regardless of their social status. Regardless of their stature in the community. Because, friends, we are all the family of God. Now, friend, it may be that you're here this morning and you're not part of the family. And you're not part of the family, friend, because you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, you've never put Him on in baptism. There's no better time than the present. Friend, the reason for that is you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know if there will even be a tomorrow. None of us do. So friend, if you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, having never put Him on in baptism, why not this very morning come in contact with His blood and allow Him to add you to His family? the family of God, which is His church. Friend, are you here this morning? And at some point in your past, you became part of the family. You were baptized for the remission of your sins. You were added to the one church. But you turned your back on it. Would you come home? Friend, would you be as the prodigal and come to your senses and run back unto the Father?